May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1032. How shall I give thee up? 'Tis Jesus speaks the word. I am the sinner's only hope. I am thy gracious Lord. 1032.
Let us read from God's holy word. part of the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 22. And we will read as far as verse 58. Lamentations chapter 3, commencing at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off for ever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To subvert a man in his cause the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good? Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered us with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us. Desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with the rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Without mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over my head. Then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do beg that thou wouldst help us this night. Do, O Lord, look down upon us in mercy, that we may come rightly before thee this evening. For, O Lord, we are in thy sight. We are met together in thy name, in the public worship of thy name. And thou who art holy, thou who art glorious in thy majesty, and we worms of the earth, vile wretches. O Lord, we do pray for mercy. But O Lord, we do rejoice and would ever thank thee that thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, therein is our hope. O Lord, in thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his shed blood for poor sinners, in his glorious grace and mercy, in appearing unto poor sinners and saying, peace be unto you, showing them his hands and his feet, thy hands and thy feet, and thy wounded side, and speaking words of peace. And O Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and thou dost by the Spirit reveal thyself. Yet even this day, and thou shalt do to the end of time. And O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to reveal thyself to us now. And O Lord, we do pray for any that as yet know thee not, that have come here, or are regularly coming here, but yet know thee not in spirit and in truth. Oh, that thou wouldst work mightily in their hearts, to turn them away from the beggarly elements of this world, and to seek thee with a whole heart, to pray unto thee with a whole heart. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest guide any that are truly pouring out their soul before thee, are in the low dungeon, shut up, see no hope, no darkness, that thou be pleased to deliver them, to shine thy glorious light upon their souls, to give them that liberty, that deliverance, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. O Lord, we do pray that there may be those true signs following the preaching of thy word, those answers to prayer, those singular changes, miraculous changes in the heart and the life of those that hear the word. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst in mercy look upon us in this land and in the churches, that the preaching of the word may once more come with power. O Lord, we do pray for thy mercy upon us. And O Lord, do help any that are in deep trouble. And O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst help any that are in carnal ease. For, O Lord, except thou dost deliver them from that, it shall lead to eternal ruin. Oh, how seductive that is. O Lord, we do pray for those that are in trouble and feel them to be themselves to be so, that, O Lord, thou dost grant them that help and that deliverance. Those that are sick or in affliction, that are tried, O Lord, we pray for any that are unable to be here through sickness or illness or caring for those who are sick, or any that are not here but could be here but have not the heart to be here, that thou mightest work mightily in their souls, that they may be drawn to come and hear the blessed words of truth, and to confess their sins before thee, and to worship thy name. To help any that are in loneliness, in bereavement, in sorrow, that thou wouldst be pleased to help them. And those in great trial, in great trouble. And, O Lord, thou hast brought one of the number of the friends here in the past days into deep trouble. And, O Lord, that thou hast helped them. Do, O Lord, grant thy favour upon them. And, O Lord, we would pray for any other in like difficulty, that thou wouldst be pleased to look in mercy upon them and help them. And, O Lord, may we see that all things work together for good to them that are the called according to thy purpose, that love thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to shine thy light in those darksome paths that we may see, that we may look unto thee and know that it is well. And, O Lord, do favour this church here, and thy blessing may rest upon them, and the churches in this area, that thou wouldst be pleased to bless them abundantly. O Lord, we do pray for the outpouring of thy Spirit, that building up of the true church. We do rejoice at the news of those coming forth to be baptized and to testify of thy holy name. And, O Lord, yet there is room. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou would stir up in the hearts of those that as yet have not testified thy name, that if there are those hindrances, that there may be that earnest prayer that they may be removed. And if there has been thy blessing upon their soul and they have a good hope, O Lord, do grant them that precious obedience to walk in thy way. And, O Lord, we would pray concerning the sending forth of thy word to the four corners of this earth, that, O Lord, thou hast blessed the word as it goes forth. And, O Lord, do we not see how there is that thirst in other lands unlike here? O Lord, we do thank thee and praise thee that it is so, although it is with sadness we look upon our own land and beg that thou would show mercy. But, O Lord, we do pray that the word may continue to go forth yet more. Thou wouldst uphold and favour those in the Trinitarian Bible Society and all that would labour in the sending forth and the translating of thy word. Oh, how needful there is of that raising up of more labourers, more that would pray, more that would be equipped for such a noble work. And, O Lord, thou hast answered the prayers of thy people in other lands that are thirsting, hungering for thy word and have no means of themselves to obtain it. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst appear for those in other lands in persecution, amidst famine, flood, earthquake, wars, poverty, disease, imprisonments for thy name's sake. O Lord, we would pray for those that suffer so deeply, yet we rejoice that thou hast granted them such light in their affliction, such joy in the suffering, a spiritual joy, not a natural, carnal, fleshly joy, but a spiritual joy and peace in believing. And, O Lord, now we who have thy word before us, O do give us an appetite to feed upon it, a hearing ear to hear the word. Do grant my lips may be touched with that live coal from off thine heavenly altar, to speak that which is right. Without that we shall speak nothing but that which is fleshly, dead. O Lord, we do pray for that living, live coal from off the altar, the place of the sacrifice, at thy command, O Lord, that we may speak thy word. And now, O Lord, may we be each granted that help, whether we speak or hear, that we may not just be speakers or hearers of the word only, but doers also, to thine honour and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 925. Peace by his cross has Jesus made, the church's everlasting head. Our hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925.
May the Lord help us to consider this evening Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 55 to 58. Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 55 to 58. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. Here we have hope in the midst of darkness and despair. Here we have the gracious work of the Spirit, breaking through all the impossibilities, all the sorrows, all the disappointments, all the distresses. Lamentations was penned by God, by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, by Jeremiah. Evidently at a time after the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah after that time was taken into Egypt with that ungodly remnant that would yet not obey the word of the Lord, that would not heed the word of the Lord, though Jerusalem lay in ruins, and they yet still would disobey, and they fled from the Babylonians into Egypt. And the beginning of Lamentations, Jeremiah says this: how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces? How is she become tributary? Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper. For the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And how that sight of such desolations and the temple in ruins, the cause of the Lord, as it were, the subject of scorn and ridicule, and more so by those who were of the children of Israel, the Jews. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Jeremiah, in the midst of affliction that had come upon the children of Israel because of their grievous disobedience to the word of God, their idolatry, their hypocrisy, their vileness. Yet in the midst of this, Jeremiah could not look down upon them. He could not say that he was any better, although he had preached unto them like Noah righteousness, had declared the word of the Lord faithfully. Yet he confessed that he was also a partaker of the rod of God's wrath. Daniel, at the end, towards the end of the 70 years captivity, he confessed his own sins, not just the sins of the people. Nehemiah, Ezra, the same. And evidently at this time Jeremiah was in a low place. In his soul, in a low place. He might have had reason to rejoice that, unlike so many, he had escaped. And that the Lord had promised to be with him. But in seeing the sorrows about him, seeing the cause of God in such a state, before the heathen, on account of the sins of the people and indeed his own sins, for he was one of Judah, of Israel. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. And he said, waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. Let us pause a minute and consider our day. How do we view the state of the churches today in this nation? Are we here in smug complacency, rejoicing that we have a relatively, by today's standards, good congregation? A nice place to worship him. We have the word of God before us, and we have so many favours in this life, in providential matters. Or is there any true sorrow and repentance over the state of the churches in our nation? Or are we content so long as we can eat, drink and be merry? Would we be more concerned if when we came away from the place of worship there was no food to eat? The Sunday lunch was absent. Would that bring out a concern in our soul? Or our bodies? Or are we content that we have a nice meal to go to, family, friends, homes, cars, and scarcely a thought concerning the solemnities of Zion, the cause of God trampled underfoot in this nation, churches closing, the Lord's servants laid aside with sickness. The evident withdrawing of the Spirit for the most part in the preaching of the word. Does it bring us in any measure to the same place that Jeremiah was? To a godly sorrow, a confession of sin, a searching. Well, like was counsel to Job. Now Elihu, in such a godly and inspired manner, said concerning these things. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement. I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. And in this deep, deep sorrow, Jeremiah was brought into the dungeon. Well, if we read in the book of Jeremiah in the 37th and 38th chapters, we read of him being cast into two dungeons, one after another in Jerusalem. And there would have been left to die. But the Lord was very gracious unto him. And there he was lifted out of that dungeon. Now a dungeon is not like our modern prisons today. They're more like hotels in some respects. But a dungeon was a vile, stinking, filthy place, usually where all the refuse of the place was cast, in where the prisoners were. The only way down to it was through a hole in the roof, and they were literally thrown in or lowered in. There was no way out. There usually to die. We read of others in Scripture who came into such a place, literally and in their own soul. And it has been rightly said, there is no trouble like unto soul trouble. And David, although we do not read anywhere in Scripture that David physically was put in a dungeon, yet in the Psalms we read of these things in his soul. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Out of the depths, in a low place. In Psalm 69 we read, save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. And then we read further on, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. There, as it were, in that deepest of trial, in the dungeon, the only light would have been the little hole above. As it were, the opening, in fear that even that might be closed in upon him. We will mention others who were cast into the dungeons, a low place. Let us begin with Joseph. His brethren cast him into a pit, and then sold him into Egypt. And we read then that he was cast into a dungeon in Egypt. But the Lord delivered him. The Lord brought him out. We've spoken of Jeremiah. Let us consider also John the Baptist. We read concerning John the Baptist that he was cast into prison on account of his faithful reproving of Herod, who had married his brother's wife, his brother still being alive. And in that adulterous relationship, John the Baptist would not be a respecter of persons, a faithful preacher of the word. And Herod in his wrath cast him into prison. But John the Baptist had been brought to this, to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the entrance of his ministry, to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ, to see him coming unto him and to say, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He must increase and I must decrease. And as the Lord Jesus Christ came forth into his open ministry, so John the Baptist must, as it were, pass. And it was to a place of great trial. It wasn't to a quiet retirement, to be cast into prison. And then at the request of a vile woman and an equally vile daughter, to be suddenly beheaded. But in prison, there John the Baptist was not just in a physically low place, but was brought into a low place in his soul. We We read of it in Matthew chapter 11. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? John the Baptist had said, Behold the Lamb of God. But now, in the darkness of the prison, now it was distress. Now, as it were, the wiles of Satan are tempting him in the darkness. Art thou he that should come? Those doubts, is this the Christ or not? In the dark, and so many, the Lord's people, yea, I would say all at some point or other, have to pass this way, to come into the dungeon. And thus it is written in the Psalms. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. It is there for the encouragement of those that are in the dungeon, those that are in darkness, those who know not how to get out, those that fear they shall die there. No light, no light upon the way, their hopes crossed, forgotten, seemingly, by every other man. So it was for Joseph. There left in the dungeon, as it were, to rot. But yet the Lord had not forgotten him. The Lord tried him a full 2 years there. But the Lord had not forgotten him. And the Lord, we truly believe, upheld him, upheld his faith. Though he was much tried, yet when he was brought forth, he could speak to the honour and glory of God, and clearly declared the works of the Lord. And it's very true with the matter of the ministry. That preparation for the ministry is very often in deep trials. Moses had to be in the wilderness 40 years before he was, as it were, prepared of God, and the time appointed had come that he should go forth as a humble and meek Moses, yet mighty in the word of God. And John the Baptist was in the prison. There was that darkness. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? No assurance. He couldn't, as it were, come as high as saying, I know my Redeemer liveth, perhaps, even. It's a low place. Is concerning Christ, art thou he that should come? Well, he believed that one should come, but is this the one? What a low, low place. He could not say, I know, but this he did know. He knew who to go to. And that is a most glorious blessing and favour upon the Lord's people in their darkness, that the Lord grants them that faith to know who to go to. Because John the Baptist didn't go to any other than to Christ. Although he was so now in darkness, uncertainty, tossed up and down, but he still knew who to go to that he might know. What a favour that is, that if you're in darkness and unsure, can't see the way, tossed up and down with doubts, the devil tempting you about every inconsistency that seems to be in the Bible, inconsistency in your life, cannot see the dealings of God clearly, or even like Job, tempted to say, taken away my judgment. Cannot see how the Lord could be fairly dealing with you in your circumstances. But do you know yet who to go unto? For indeed, Job, in the midst of those deep trials, in which he declared most profound truths, he could say at one moment, I know that my Redeemer liveth. But then he was contending with God. At one time in deep, almost deep despair, yet another time saying, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But yet, Job, in the midst of that, he desired that he might speak with God. Even though he was in that temptation of self-righteousness. And when the Lord did come unto him, it was in the terrible things in righteousness. How he was reproved before the Lord. Yet that reproof was in mercy unto his soul. And he was brought to confess, behold, I am vile, to repent in dust and ashes. But the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the former. Though he suffered so many losses in this life and so many trials, yet the Lord blessed him abundantly. So Job, even in the midst of those things, he still knew who we should go to. And do you know what a mercy it is that you still know who to go to, who to cry unto, when the disciples were in the darkness of that storm on the lake. And they said, Master, we perish. They still went to the Master, although they feared that they should perish. Carest thou not that we perish? They'd even forgotten his care and his love, his almighty hand. But yet they still went to the Master. What a mercy it is to be kept, that we may still go unto him. And the Lord rebuked the wind and the waves, and he lovingly reproved the disciples too, and said, where is your faith? Searching question. O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And John the Baptist came and sent two of his disciples unto Jesus to ask, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And we see there the loving reply of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, no, I'm not going to send a reply. You doubted that I am the Christ when you confess so clearly, behold, the Lamb of God. No, the Lord answered mercifully and kindly and firmly. He didn't say to the disciples, well, I think you should be cast out of the boat for doubting. No, they were still safe in him. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again. Show him again. Those things which you do hear and see, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. There was the fulfillment of that prophecy in Isaiah concerning the Messiah, there being fulfilled before their eyes. Go and show John again these things. Tell him the good news. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And we have every confidence that those words were made a true blessing and a light to John in that prison. And when that executioner came, we have every confidence that those words have been brought back to his cell and given that light. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. And the Lord, even this day, is no different. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He sends forth his servants to bring that reply again. Go and show John again those things. The Lord graciously sends forth his servants, whether in the flesh in the pulpit or in those who are dead and yet speaketh through their writings. How the Lord is gracious to send word again to those that are in the dungeon, not to cast them off. For how can he? For he shed his precious blood for them. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, not disappointed. So often I come across people saying or writing that God is somehow disappointed, sad. We do not read of that in Scripture. We read that God is displeased, that God is dishonoured, God is righteously angry. But never do we read of God being disappointed, as if he were like a mere man who cannot achieve, like ourselves, we cannot achieve all our purposes and our plans, and we're disappointed. Not so with God. We may be sad over those things that come upon us that we did not expect. No sorrows. But God is not as a man. And his people are perfectly safe in him. The precious blood of Christ that was shed cleanseth from all sin, from all guilt, delivers from every dungeon, delivers from every sorrow, delivers from all guilt, delivers from the worst of sins. Many are held in Satan's temptation that they have sinned too badly, done something too bad, especially if it's something in respect of the church or religious things. Or maybe they've been permitted to go and defile themselves in a vile manner in their body, and they feel it's too bad. We consider those whom the Lord revealed himself to so clearly. There's the woman at the well of Samaria who had had 5 husbands and yet was living with a 6th man who was not her husband. But the Lord came to her, the woman caught in adultery. How the Lord, we read that he stooped down and wrote. And that sets forth in type the Lord stooping, coming down. The Lord came down to where his people were to deliver them. He came down to the darkest of places, even darker than the lowest dungeon of this earth, to be rejected of men. It was a dark place in Gethsemane that night when he was pressed to the ground, as it were, under the terrible burden of the sin of the church, every sin, from Adam to the end of time. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. It wasn't just his body, sacred human body, that was afflicted, it was his soul. Grievous heresy it is to deny that Christ had a human soul. For where would be the salvation of our souls unless he suffered in this sacred human soul? If he only suffered in the body, in the flesh, what of our souls? Where would be the delivering of our souls? How should we be delivered out of that greatest of sorrows? That soul trouble, if we consider David. In his deep trouble there, he was walking in that fellowship in Christ's sufferings. There he had that revelation by God the Holy Spirit and spoke in prophecy out of the depths of his own heart and sufferings. He spoke of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ Save me, O God, for the souls, the waters are coming unto my own, in unto my soul. And they certainly were coming into David's soul, but though he was speaking concerning Christ and his sufferings. And in any case, what is the great commandment that the Lord spoke of when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And our Lord cited it from the book of Deuteronomy. And there we read in the book of Deuteronomy concerning the Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. If he hadn't got a human soul, how could he fulfill loving the Lord, God the Father, with all the soul? So thus the law is unfulfilled if Christ had not a human soul. But blessed be God, he went through such places. He fulfilled the law with all the heart, with all the might, all the soul. And he went through the deep waters, both body and soul, to deliver his people, body and soul. You may be very well in your body. Things may be going well in circumstances, but in the soul, crying out for mercy. I knew that myself as a student. From the outside, everything was well. I was doing well in my course, doing well with the subject. I didn't have any financial problems. But this I had. I was a guilty sinner before God. And I felt the reality of the judgment to come. And that one day my soul should stand before the judgment seat. And how should I stand? My life was a blot. And even in those things where I thought I was serving God in religious things, I was but leading people astray. And I'd committed those things that, some things that are explicitly written in the law that were worthy of death. Had the sentence of death upon me. And the Lord was merciful to keep me such that I still continued in my studies and kept me from going out of my mind, but it was a low dungeon, a low place. The Lord heard me. The Lord gave me that grain of faith to call on his name there and not to despair. To yet to go unto Jesus, to plead for mercy. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming unto my soul. Well, that's something more deeper than just into my body. We might be sinking physically, but what if the waters come into the soul? No human hand can help us there. No lifeboat can help us. No life jacket. When it's come into the soul, we have need of a saviour, a divine saviour. One who took our nature upon him, body and soul. One who fulfilled the law. One who suffered upon the cross, shed his precious blood, and rose again from the dead. And is now at the right hand of the Father, interceding. There in that same body and soul, now glorified. In which he suffered, in which he fulfilled the law perfectly, and now at the right hand of God interceding for us. There is our hope in a low place. As though we are in a low place in the dungeon, yet the Lord is in glory, interceding for his people. And shall his intercession be in vain? Is his hand shortened that he cannot save? Has his mercy, as it were, run out? Well, we get tired, we get fatigued. We may help one person, then another, and then the third come along and say, we can't help you anymore. We've helped two, we can't help anymore. Not so with the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He won't say to any that come unto him in true faith, seeking from the heart, well, the number's already full. We can't admit you. All that are ordained to eternal life shall be moved in their hearts to seek him with the whole heart. And if you are seeking with the whole heart, it is a true token of the Lord's favour and mercy. He's ever willing to save all that come unto him, unto God by him in Christ Jesus. From the lowest of the dungeons, the lowest place, blind Bartimaeus was at Jericho. And I've often noted from the pulpit, if you look on a map, Jericho is beside the Dead Sea, the lowest place on earth. And it was cursed by God. And there Bartimaeus was outside the city, by the wayside, and the Lord passed by. The Lord came to that low place. He came to Zacchaeus in Jericho. He came to blind Bartimaeus there, begging by the wayside, dark and benighted, but he heard that Jesus passed by and he knew who to go to. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And have you called upon him? Have you ever cried for mercy unto the Lord Jesus, son of David? Well, that is the way of salvation. And none else. There's no other way, no other name given among men, given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. And there was certainly a must be saved in the heart of Bartimaeus. Although those around Christ wouldn't have a blind beggar there, they wouldn't have such a person in their company, and they called upon him to be quiet, but he would not be quiet. And Jesus would show mercy. The Lord Jesus heard his cry. And like the Lord Jesus heard the cry of the children in the temple a few days later when he entered into Jerusalem. The Pharisees were so, as they were angered to see the people crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means save, I beseech, from the Hebrew. A cry for mercy, a cry of honour and glory unto Christ, entering into the city of Jerusalem. But if that was not enough, then there was the children crying in the temple. And seeing that, the elders and the rulers said unto Jesus, Hearest thou what these say? What these are crying, these children? And the Lord only just said, yea, he had heard. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. He's heard the cry of the children and received their cry. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He said, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. They tried to send away the little children, but the Lord would receive them. And there is an encouragement, whether we be younger or older, to come unto Jesus. Whether we be old or young, we may still be in a low dungeon, in a low place, a dark place. For the Lord is the light of life, the light of the world. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. We read of both a breathing and a cry, as it were a sigh. There are times when we scarcely know what to say other than to groan and to sigh, but we know who to groan and sigh to. To go groan and sigh unto the Lord. And at times, alas, we go groaning and sighing to other people. the children of Israel did, didn't they? They murmured. And they spoke to Moses and Aaron. They complained to Moses and Aaron, but that, alas, is something that we are, our sinful hearts, we do. And the Lord chastened the children of Israel. On one occasion they murmured. And they murmured again and again, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among them and to bite them. And many of them were dying. And the Lord commanded Moses to make a serpent of brass and to lift up that serpent, that any that should look would live. Beautiful type, that is, of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up, not only in crucifixion, but in his resurrection and ascension. If I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. And those that looked, they lived. Those that were at the uttermost part of the camp, as well as those who were right by Moses. Even those who would have seen the serpent, brazen serpent, very indistinctly in the distance. Yet they lived just as much as those who had such a clear view, because they were right by Moses. And so it is. If we have seen, even if it is, as it were, so indistinctly, the love, beauty, and power in the Lord Jesus Christ, what an inestimable blessing it is, what light it is. Never measure yourself against those who have been favoured to have a more clearer view. And to say in some respect, well, there must be something wrong. The Lord is sovereign in these things. He will give one and another, to a greater or lesser extent, that clarity. But all those that beheld, they lived. And there's a glorious equality there. All partakers in the precious blood of Christ. Don't let Satan and his temptations cheat you out of a blessing, nor discourage you from professing his name. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. I called upon thy name, O Lord. That name, that precious name of Jesus, the Saviour. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Oh, how beautiful that speaks, as we said, of our Lord drawing near. Drew near to blind Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho. Jesus himself drew near to the two on the road to Emmaus in their darkness and confusion. We'd hoped, we'd trusted it had been he that would have redeemed Israel. The Lord drew near to them in their darkness, in their distress. The Lord went with them. He lovingly reproved them. Their heart burned within them. And they felt such an attraction to him. They wished him to remain with him. And at the breaking of bread, the Lord revealed himself so beautifully. And then he departed from their sight. Here below, those blessings, those glimpses are often very short. And much of our pathway is in often a darksome paths that we walk in much tribulation, yet the Lord is pleased to visit. The Lord is pleased to forget. Sorry to deliver us when we forget. The Lord is pleased to remember us. Even when we forget him, when all that we can see is trouble and distress, hath the Lord forgotten to be gracious? No, the Lord is ever gracious still, never merciful. And he draws near, underneath of the everlasting arms. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Thou drawest near in the day that I called upon thee. And when the Lord draws near, then there's a drawing out of our desire and our prayer unto him. And what a glorious union there is. The Lord comes near and our hearts are drawn out to him. There's that light in our darkness. As it were, the dungeon is filled with light. Thou saidst, fear not. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee, and thou saidst, fear not. Fear not, I am with thee. God with us, Emmanuel. The Lord says, fear not, O little flock. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul, and thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Now what do we mean here by plead? Now if we had cause to be in court, now we may have need to make those pleadings before the judge, to explain ourselves or defend ourselves. Well, if I think for the most part, most of us would scarcely know what to say in a court, or all the procedures, all the legal matters. And thus we would get a lawyer or an advocate to speak on our behalf, to speak on our behalf for good. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. We have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, one who speaks for good. In that beautiful hymn, the last hymn in our book concerning the precious blood of Christ, how that speaks for good. What voice is that which speaks for me in heaven's high court for good? And from the curse has set me free. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. There the blood speaks. There we see the dying love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There we see, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There we see the Lord Jesus Christ going into such depths. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There in his sacred humanity, bearing the sins of his people, body and soul. God the Father, who cannot so much as look upon sin, there he is forsaken. There is that darkness. But even there the Lord delivers and speaks so beautifully to the dying thief, even amongst the midst of his own deepest distress. There one beside him is brought to see that he is Lord. That we indeed justly, he that doth nothing amiss, but to confess that we are justly condemned. This man hath done nothing amiss. Perfect, holy, sinless. We justly condemned. But then to turn unto the Lord and say, Lord, remember me. And remember, this man was dying. There must have been a breathing there. of the sentence of death upon him, yet when he looked unto the Lord in hope and in faith, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord so beautifully hastened to speak unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt be with me in paradise. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the Lord is ever the same. Although he is no longer upon the cross, yet he is a merciful high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The sacred human heart and soul and body, now glorified, is in heaven. The same Jesus that said unto the dying thief, verily thou shalt be, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise, that heard the cry of the dying thief. It's the same Jesus who we worship now, today. He's ever the same. Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. The Lord has fulfilled the law, body and soul. All those things that we have done amiss, he perfectly fulfilled, wrought out a glorious righteousness. There is that glorious hope. We may come boldly to the throne of grace. Paul and Silas in that dungeon, although they were beaten, although they were in darkness, chained, cruelly treated, yet they sang praises unto God, and there was manifest their faith. And they praised God. And the Lord came and delivered them and brought forth fruits in the ministry. There was the jailer in his household. The jail had been shaken to its core, but so had the soul of the jailer. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. We have an advocate with the Father. One who does and will speak for good, for our good. To whom we come, we must come, pleading mercy, in repentance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thou hast redeemed my life. He paid the price, because redemption, that means to buy back. And what was the price? The precious blood of Christ. He shed his own blood. O Lord, thou hast seen, Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. And that which the Lord has redeemed, no man can cheat us of it. No man can turn us aside from it, although Satan would seek every means to deceive the elect if it were possible. But those for whom Christ died, although they be at this time in the lowest dungeon, yet they are as safe as any. The blessed light of the gospel shines, and it is in Christ's sufferings. We conclude with this meditation. Gethsemane, the olive press, that's what the word means. And the Lord was pressed there, pressed to the ground. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And that which the light of the tabernacle was lit was with the pure oil of the olive, beaten for the light. The olive would be pressed and beaten, and the oil would flow, and the pure oil was used to light the light, the candles in the tabernacle, to shed forth that light in the holiest of all, at the mercy seat, that the mercy seat may be lit. Now there we see in Christ, in his sufferings, at Gethsemane. They're suffering for his people. There is their light. There is light. There is the light of life. There is hope. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £755, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Jim Ince is expected to preach in the evening. And the collections today are for our friends John and Ruth. And there will be a trustee meeting tomorrow evening. Let us close with hymn 513. In mounts of danger and of straits, my soul for his salvation waits. Jehovah Jireh will appear and save me from my gloomy fear. 513. Thank you.
do, O Lord, look in mercy upon us. Do forgive that which has been spoken amiss. But, O Lord, do bless thine own word. Do take us to our homes in peace and safety this evening. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and evermore. Amen.